over to Genesis chapter 1. And so all the way back to the beginning. And tonight I'm going to call this message, The Keys to Promotion. The Keys to Promotion. And when you hear that word promotion, I don't mean a self-promotion. I don't mean a greedy promotion. Sometimes when people hear that word promotion, they start thinking instantly, you know, about finances and things like that. And I will tell you here, God is not, you know, afraid to bless you and to bless your life even financially. But I'm just here to let you know the word promotion, you know, we're talking about being promoted in the things of God, being promoted within God. We're talking about being promoted in our character, in our obedience. Amen. Or you could just call this message here tonight, you could call it the keys to being fruitful. The keys to being fruitful. We're going to talk about that. As you're turning in your Bible to Genesis chapter 1, I want to bring up a scripture, if we can please, on the screen. And I just want to take a look at this verse, and we'll just bring it up. It's over there in John chapter 15 and verse 8. And I'll just have it put on the screen. That's John 15, 8. Jesus is speaking, and if you've never read the first, you know, 10 verses or so of John chapter 15 or spent a lot of time over there, it's one of my favorite passages in all of the Bible. John 15, 5 arguably might be my favorite verse in all of the whole Bible. And so Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's talking to them about being, you know, Jesus says in John 15, 5, he said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. He said, if you abide in me, and I abide in you, you shall bring forth much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. And so that's one of the reasons why that verse is one of my favorites. And he goes on to talk about, you know, branches within the vine that don't produce fruit and how they'll be cut out and gathered and burned. And then he goes on to say this in John 15, 8. He just sums it all up. Jesus speaking, he says, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. And so this verse is really, really important because it tells us God wants us to bear much fruit. He wants us to be fruitful. And really the implication here is almost, you know, along these lines that Jesus will only accept fruitful disciples, especially if you read the verses leading up to verse 8. He says branches that bear no fruit will be removed, right? And so the Lord is very clear here that he wants fruitful disciples. Do we have any disciples of the Lord here tonight? Amen. And so when we're talking about promotion, we're talking about fruitfulness. Amen. Now, when you do a little study there, maybe you want to study in your Greek concordance or whatever, but when Jesus says that you shall bear much fruit, that term much fruit, it literally means this. It's translated this way, abundant growth or abundant harvest. It means to grow or to always be productive in the kingdom of God. Always being productive in the kingdom of God. It means to enrich God's kingdom with your deeds and your actions and your godly character. To enrich God's kingdom with your actions, your deeds, in your godly character. I don't know about you, but I want to enrich God's kingdom. Amen. And when I say that, I mean in every way possible. I want to see that God's kingdom grows. I want to be fruitful for him every day of my life. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so we see this. God wants us to produce abundant growth. You know, he wants us to produce abundant harvest. He wants us to bring more souls into the kingdom of God. He wants us to grow in our knowledge of his word and his spirit. He wants us to fill our fellowship with people that need him. Amen? And so he wants us to grow in wisdom. He wants us to grow in character. He wants us to always be moving up. He always wants us to be moving forward. He always wants us growing personally. Amen. Glory to God. He always wants progress and development within our hearts and the renewing of our minds and our knowledge, our wisdom. He wants us growing in prayer. He wants us growing in our giving. He wants us to be growing in our forgiving. Amen. He wants us growing in our serving and so on. Praise the Lord. But notice this, the word disciple here, Jesus says, so shall you be my disciples. The word disciple means student. How many of you know Jesus said that we are to make disciples of all nations? Disciples. It means literally students of the Word of God. Being a Christian literally means that you are a student of God's Word. Not just learning it with a head knowledge, but developing a heart knowledge and an obedience and a tenderheartedness to obey and to do whatever it says. Amen. And so you could say it this way. Disciples are to study to bring growth to everything around them. That's what we do as believers. We are bringing growth to God's kingdom, growth to the people around us. Amen. Growth to anything that we're doing. Praise the Lord. Like I said, we are to grow in our spirit. We're to grow in our hearts. We're to grow in our character. We are to keep sowing the Word of God into our hearts and in enriching ourselves in the knowledge of God's Word. We are to enrich those. We're to inspire those around us in our lives that they would know the Jesus that you and I serve. People should look at our lives and say, man, there's something different about them. There's a strength about them. Amen, because they'll see that growth in your life and they'll want it. We're to raise godly families, godly children. Amen. We're to compel others into the kingdom. We're to tell them about Jesus Christ. We're to bring them into the local church that they also could be taught the Word of God. Amen. We are supposed to be exercising our faith for growth in all things that God desires. Don't you just want to, just whatever God wants, I want to be participating in that direction. I want to be fruitful, and herein is the Father glorified. This is what makes your Heavenly Father the happiest, is when you are abundantly fruitful. You're fruitful in your character. Yeah, you can be even fruitful in your business. Does your business, does your job, does that honor the, you know, the house of God? You know, does it honor the things of God? Your home, are you raising and leading a godly home, raising godly kids? Amen. That glorifies the Lord. Are you growing in your character, growing in your knowledge? That glorifies Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're supposed to be those that study to grow the kingdom of God every day of our lives. Amen. Disciples aren't supposed to be looking to tear someone down. We're not supposed to be looking to tear something down, right? Amen. You know, disciples, those that are growing, those that are glorifying the Father, we're not looking back to our past for any answers. We're not looking for help, you know, somewhere back in our past. We're not those that hold on to hurts. We are not those that hold on to offenses. We are not those that get easily upset and mad and angry at every little thing. Amen. Are you here tonight? Yeah. We are those that are supposed to be under control, even with political things. We're supposed to be those that, you know, don't get worried about what's going on in our nation. We don't sit there and fight and contend with people that think differently than we do. Oh, boy. We are not those that look to the past. We keep reaching forward. We don't dwell on hurts, because hurts and offenses can only take us in the wrong direction. Hurts only take you backwards. Offenses is something that happened yesterday. Amen. If you're offended, you are not reaching forward. If you're just dwelling on hurts of the past, you are not moving forward in God. Oh, praise the Lord. That's the wrong direction. We are not supposed to be opposing our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're supposed to be enriching them. We're not supposed to be taking anything out of their lives. We're supposed to be putting something good into their lives. Amen. We are supposed to be the ones that get behind what our local church is doing, not standing in front of it. Oh, are you here? Well, we want to be growing. God only moves forward. God only moves up. He goes from glory to glory. God does not dwell in the past. He does not ask for an explanation from your past. Are you here tonight? Mm-hmm. God is glorified with fruitfulness. Fruitfulness is the evidence of Christ's lordship in your life. There it is. Fruitfulness is the evidence of Christ's lordship in your life. Are you growing? And yeah, sometimes growth, it means, you know, putting down things of the world, you know, to pick up the things of God. I had to lay down alcohol in my life to pick up the things of God. I had to lay down offenses to pick up the things of God. I had to lay down wrong speaking and profanity and pick up the things of God. Amen? That's growth, and growth glorifies God. He's always moving forward. He's always moving up. He's always moving into more glory. Amen. God is glorified with fruitfulness. Like I said, fruitfulness is the evidence of Christ's lordship in your life. Fruitful disciples will see the promotion of God in their lives. God wants to move in your life. Amen. There's a verse. There's a verse that's playing on the inside of me, and I need the Lord to quicken the chapter and verse. Psalm 75. I'm looking back at our young man on our overhead there. Where is that verse? Promotion comes neither. Someone finished the rest of it. I have it playing on the inside of my heart. Psalm 75, verse 6. I was in the right chapter. Promotion comes neither from the east nor the west nor from the south, which is very interesting. You'll notice in this verse that there's one direction that is not mentioned in there, right? Comes neither from the east, the west, or from the south, right? He leaves off the direction north, giving us the idea that promotion comes from above. Look at the next verse. This just started playing on the inside. I haven't been, you know, reading this specific passage for a little while. God is the judge. He puts down one and sets up another. How many of you know God wants to promote our lives? Amen. He wants to set us up. He wants to absolutely promote us. Amen. Can you real quickly, I just want to show you this. Can you bring up Psalm 91 and start in the 14th verse? Psalm 91, 14. I wasn't planning on going to these verses. This is what God says about those that will set their love upon him. It says, because he has set, or you have set, your love upon him. This is God speaking about someone who will serve him. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will what? Set him on high. Does that sound like promotion? Doesn't it sound like God wants to promote your life? Promotion will come through influence. It will come through character. It'll come from people using your life as an example of strength. Amen. He says, I will set him on high because he has known my name. Keep going in verse 15. These were verses I wasn't planning on going to. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and what? Honor him. See, we talk about how we should honor God, and we should talk about that a lot. But how many of you know the scripture says that God wants to honor me and you? He does. God wants to honor you. He wants people to take notice of your godly character. Look at verse 16. Praise God. With long life, he will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Glory to God. God wants to show you his salvation. Folks, I'm going to just say this, and this might upset a lot of people. Do you know the salvation that he's talking here about in verse 16? It's not only referring about salvation from hell. It's talking about God's daily deliverance or protection for your life. He's talking about when people are out to hurt you, people are out to kill you, people are out to bring you down, insult you, all that. He's saying, with long life, I will satisfy him and I will show him my daily protection. I will show him my daily protection. God wants to honor you with protection. He says this, no weapon formed against you will prosper. Every tongue that arise against you in judgment, he shall condemn. Isn't it good to know God? Yeah. Praise the Lord. And so I just wanted to start over there, and it kind of took us a little to some different passages here. But herein is God glorified when we bear much fruit. Have you found Genesis chapter 1 yet? I think we all know right where that is, right? Go to verse 26, Genesis 1:26. And now we're going to start looking at this a little bit more specifically in depth. The keys to promotion, or you could say it this way, the keys to fruitfulness. God wants you growing in every way possible. Yes, God will love to bless a godly business. that puts him first. He'll bless a home that puts him first. He'll bless a church that puts him first. He'll bless an individual's life. He'll bless a marriage that'll put him first. Amen. Put God first. Now, this is on the sixth day of what is called the creation account. And this is at the creation of man. And God says this. It says, and God said, let us, of course it's plural because it's the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them, mankind, have what? Dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. And every preacher has got to use this joke, and so I'm going to go for it. Reverend Tony, you know where I'm going. It's the biggest cliche joke of Genesis 1:26. We have authority over the creeps, right? Yes, we do. Absolutely. Now, there's a reason why the scripture says over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. How many of you know that God was not just talking about animals in this verse? How many of you know that he was talking about Satan himself in this verse? Because how did Satan come into the Garden of Eden in chapter 3? He came in a creeping. All right? So you got authority over the creepers, and Satan came as a creeper, and Adam and Eve were supposed to know this, and God did tell them again in Genesis chapter 2 that they had authority to protect the garden. And so it's not just talking about mankind having authority over the animal kingdom, it was over anything. They had complete authority or dominion. Now, I like to camp out on verse 26, and this is not my message here tonight, but notice the reason why God made you and me. Why did God make humanity? And when you ask the average Christian why God created humankind, the average Christian answer was, God created us because he wanted to love us. And that's so sentimental. It's so sweet to say that. But that is not what the scripture says. Now, let me go on and give you a little disclaimer. God does love us with an incredible love, and he did create us out of his own love. How many of you know, though, he had a purpose for creation? God wasn't just creating us because he was sentimental. There was a purpose for creation for human beings. Human beings, God said, let us make man in the image and the likeness of God. So if you've ever wondered what God looks like, he looks like you. He looks like me. He has the same shape as we do. He has not only the same image, but we share his likeness. Likeness means that we can walk in his same character. We can walk in his ways. We can be like him. All right? Doesn't mean we will ever be more higher than him. We never will be. All right? But we understand this. We can be like him. And now the first thing that God says about why he created humanity, he says, make them in our likeness, in our image, and let human beings have what? Dominion. He made humanity for dominion. The word dominion, it means to rule, reign, or have authority. God did not just say, well, I'm just looking for a creation to look upon and to love them. He wasn't making us for a sentimental reason. He was making us for the purpose of dominion, to rule and reign on the earth. Satan, when he came into that garden, he was supposed to be run out of there by the one who had dominion. Who had dominion in the garden? Adam did. And Adam sold that dominion out. When he obeyed Satan, Satan took that dominion. But the good news is Jesus came 2,000 years ago and got that dominion away from that rascal and gave it back to all those that call upon Jesus' name. Man was created for dominion. Satan stole that dominion, and Jesus came back to give that dominion back. The Bible, Jesus said that over there in Luke 10:19. He says, behold, I give unto you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. He gave us back the authority that was lost to Satan in the Garden of Eden. And so that's what's going on here. But that's not even my message here tonight. I just can't help but throw some of that in verse 26. In verse 27, it says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." Now look at verse 28, and this is where we're going to camp out. "God blessed them. God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And have what? Dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moves on the earth, even if it's Satan himself when he comes into the garden." Amen. Praise God. Notice this. It says God blessed them. God blessed them. Is there anybody here tonight that's blessed? If you're a Christian, if you've made Jesus your Lord and Savior, you are blessed. That word blessed there in Genesis 1:28, it is the Hebrew word for to kneel down and salute or to place a crown on their head. So literally, do you know that the scripture says that God crowned humanity? If you don't believe that, well, you can go over and read Psalm 8, 4, and 5, Psalm chapter 8. It says, "And God crowned them," meaning humanity. "God crowned them with authority over the earth." And that was the original intention for mankind. And it says, "God blessed them." That means God saluted them or authorized them or crowned them. "And God said to them," these are the first recorded eternal words of what God said to humanity the first time ever. These are the first two words that God ever spoke to a human being. Are you ready for this? Say them with me. Be fruitful. The first words that God ever said to a human being, be fruitful. Be fruitful. And then he also went on to say, multiply, replenish, and subdue. Praise the Lord. And so he blessed mankind. God gave us a crown, literally, of authority. Again, that crown was stolen by Satan in the garden. But Jesus came back to give us back our crown. That's what Jesus got for us on the cross. Do you know that? Oh, I'm going to say something that's going to really wind some people up. The greatest symbol for a born-again Christian is the throne. Is the throne. The Bible says that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Yes, the cross will never be able to get to that throne unless we first come through the cross. But do you realize Jesus isn't on that cross? You aren't on that cross? He is seated in heavenly places at the right hand of God, and the Bible says that you are seated there with him. Amen. That's absolutely how God sees it. Praise the Lord. And so God blessed us. He then said, be fruitful. That word fruitful, are you ready for this? It literally means to increase, cause to grow. It means to bring forth. It means to make or to invent or to create. It means to add to something. Amen. Glory to God. It means to increase, to cause to grow, to bring forth, to create, to invent, to make, or to add to. Amen. Man was made to move up and to always be moving forward. All right? That is the original intention of God. But notice the first two words that God ever said to humanity, he said, be fruitful. This gives us the original intention of what God ever designed us to be. He wants us to be fruitful in every form and way possible. The word multiply there, it means to excel in everything. I love that. It means to excel. It means to enlarge or to increase in whatever extent. I love that. The word replenish, it means to fill and to make full. Isn't that good? I mean, you start looking at what God did, what God intended for human beings to be and what he wants us to do. I'll tell you what, it is not a defeated lifestyle. It is not a broken down lifestyle. We don't have to be defeated in this life. We don't have to, you know, live a life that's depressed. We don't have to, you know, be worried about what is going on in this world. Folks, if we've been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, we are seated in heavenly places with him. Amen. We move up, we move forward, we don't look back, we don't try to find explanations in our past. Are you here tonight? Absolutely. And so I wanted to show you this because God's first ever words to humanity was be fruitful, grow, increase, enlarge, go ahead and move up, move forward. Now go with me. Now I'm going to start giving you some keys to this. Go to Galatians chapter 6. Go to Galatians chapter 6. Now I'm going to start giving you some keys to being fruitful. Because I've shown you in the Word now that God wants you to be fruitful. God made you to be fruitful. He is glorified when you are fruitful. And now we're going to look at the homework side of it. What do we do? What do we do to be fruitful? Go to Galatians chapter 6, back there in the New Testament. Galatians chapter 6. We're going to start right there in verse 7. Praise the Lord. We're way back here now, in the towards the end of the New Testament. Let's read verses 7 through 10, and I'm just going to read these verses, and then we'll go back. It says this, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap." And so God's using this illustration of sowing and reaping. It's the same illustration of planting and growing. And now God says this, don't be deceived. God is not mocked or blamed, for whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season, everyone say due season, we shall reap if we faint not. How many of you know God wants you to reap? He wants you to do right. He wants you to do well because he wants you to come into that due season so you can reap. And that can be in every area of life. You know, you can reap blessing in your marriage, in your home, in your business. Glory to God, in your character. You know, in your relationship with God, knowing him, knowing his word. And then verse 10 says this, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Go back to verse 7 and let's start giving you the keys, things that you and I have to know if we are going to be promoted or if we're going to be fruitful God's way. Look at this verse. It says, I've been looking at this verse a lot lately. Be not deceived. All right, so he says, don't get deceived. Don't give in to deception. And if we'll look carefully, this verse tells us what deception is. Don't be deceived. God is not blamed. How many of you know it's not going to be God's fault? Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. That's not just in your offerings or in your giving. It's whatsoever a man sows. If you sow good decisions, you know, or bad decisions, you're going to reap those. If you sow bad language, you're going to reap the result of that. Okay? Here is what deception is. If you look closely at this verse, verse 7, here's what deception is. People are deceived when they think they have nothing to do with their own future. People are deceived when they believe they have nothing to do with their own future. Folks, get a hold of that. The Bible says God is not going to be blamed. He says, whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. When does a person reap after they're sowing? They reap in the future, right? So this verse is talking about future things that can come into your life, some that God had for you and things that God didn't have for you. Notice this, your future is made up of your present decisions. When people, Christians, is everyone here tonight? Listen. As a pastor, I see this all the time. Christians think that their future is only up to God and his random actions. Well, if God wants that for me, it'll just happen. You are so deceived if you believe that. If you just say, well, if God wants it, then it'll just automatically happen. There's a lot of things that God wants that never happens because mankind doesn't participate. man has got to sow towards the plan of God. We've got to sow right decisions. We've got to be, you know, and then, of course, you know, later on in the passage, we've got to continue in well-doing. Listen, your future, God does have a plan for you, but it is not going to be automatic just because he has it. Are you here? Your future, to think that your decisions have no implications on your future is to be deceived. Or to believe that, you know, whatever God wants is automatically going to be is what's going to happen, you're deceived. When people think, well, whatever God wants, that's automatically going to happen, wrong. If God got everything he wanted right now, the whole world would just get born again right now and we'd go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. God doesn't want the death and God doesn't want so many things that are happening on the earth. Oh boy, that's a whole nother story, right? You know, why bad things happen on this earth. People think all the time, well, God's doing it. God is the author of the destruction and he's the author of the diseases and he's the author of the war, you know, and all this stuff and this death. No, we remember what Jesus said over there in John 10:10, right? He says, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come that you may have life and have it what? More abundantly or fruitful. God sent Jesus to make us fruitful. And this scripture is letting us know God is not blamed for whatever happens in our future. Hello? God is not blamed. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. It is deception to believe that bad decisions have no consequences. Are you here? It is also equally deception to believe that good decisions don't produce rewards. It's, you know, there's a lot of Christians that are doing a lot of good, and they just don't believe anything good will ever happen in their lives. Folks, if you're doing right, if you're obeying the word of God, I've got good news for you. It is completely okay to expect a due season to reap. Because the scripture says if you'll keep doing right, if you'll keep obeying the Lord, if you'll keep doing what he said to do, there's a due season. Of course, verse 8, you know, is a scripture that we can't just pass over. It says, he that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. There's so many sins of the flesh that we could talk about. All right, that's not my message here tonight. But if you sow to your flesh, you're going to reap corruption in the flesh. He that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. How do you sow to the Spirit? Spend time with God, spend time with the Word, pray, be obedient, go to church, all these things, right? That's not the purpose of the message. Verse 9, let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, everyone say due season. The word due season, it means appointed time. God has an appointed time to reward you for your well-doing. Aren't you glad? This is good news. See, it's deception to believe that, you know, bad decisions have no consequences, but it's also deception for a Christian who lives right to not expect a due season of God's rewards in your life. Folks, I'm looking at a lot of faithful Christians here tonight. And I'm here to tell you, God loves you. And for your faithfulness, he's going to reward you. There's going to be reaping for your well-doing. And it's not because you're selfish or trying to be greedy of God's rewards. But I'm here to tell you, you know, I'm here to just show you what God has already said. He says, you're going to reap if you don't quit. That's what it says. He says, you're going to reap because you have kept, you know, doing well. Folks, this is the first key of being promoted within the things of God, all right? The first key is to not be deceived, to assume that everything that God just wants to happen is going to happen. You know, the first key here is to not get deceived to think that bad decisions don't have consequences. Or I'll just say it like I introduced this thought, you know, it is deception to think, right? How did I word that? I want to make sure I say that right. It is deception when we think we have nothing to do with our future. God is working with you. You're not just here as some lab rat that he's just going to make sure gets to the right place. We've got to do the right things. We can't grow weary in well-doing. If we will keep doing well in what we're supposed to do, we will get to that due season. We'll get to those rewards. Amen. Don't be deceived. All right. So what's the key of getting promoted God's way? Keep doing right. Yes, exactly right. Brother Greg just said obedience, and that's exactly where I'm going next. Go with me over to Mark chapter 4. Go to Mark chapter 4, and now I'm going to give you some specific things. Praise the Lord. I just found a $20 bill in my Bible. Bookmark. There it is. A due season. Woo! No, probably that was supposed to go on the offering. So ushers, please see me, because I had some 20s that I was putting in there. I think one of them stuck in the Bible when I got my offering ready. Praise the Lord. Makes a good bookmark, though. Go to Mark chapter 4. Look at what Jesus said. How many of you remember the parable of the sower? Oh, man. Does the word excite you? I don't mean my preaching. I mean the word of God should absolutely thrill you. I love it because the scripture, Jesus himself, tells us how to be fruitful. Go to Mark chapter 4 and verse 14, the parable of the sower. Here we go. He's explaining it in this passage. He's already given them the parable, and now he's going through and he's explaining what the illustration meant. Remember, the parable of the sower was a man who takes seed, like a farmer who goes out and throws seed on the ground. And now Jesus is going to explain it. Jesus says, the sower sows the word. The word of God is like a seed, Jesus is telling us. It is a seed that has the potential to grow and to create. Or you can say it this way. This Bible is the key to your fruitfulness. Every time you obey it, your future gets better and brighter. Amen. Hallelujah. What are we going to do? We're just going to keep doing right. If we're just going to keep on doing right. You know, I'm going to keep on going to church. I'm going to keep on studying my Bible. I'm going to keep on praying. I'm going to keep on tithing. I'm going to keep on serving. I'm going to keep on forgiving one another. Amen. I'm just going to keep on doing what this says. Amen. Folks, every single one of you made your future just a little bit better here today. Why? You made a good decision. You came to church. Not because it's this church, but you came to worship. You came to put God first. I mean, my goodness, it's a beautiful Saturday evening. There's a lot of places your flesh could have been, right? It would have been real easy just to go do something else. But you're here, and what's happening? The word is being sown into you. So what does that mean? Potential is being sown into you. Potential harvest is being sown into you. A due season starts to get set up in your future. Amen. All you're right doing is just setting up something in the future. Amen. Jesus says the sower sows the word. So if you're going to be a planter, sow the word. Sow the word into your heart. Sow the word in your actions, meaning be a doer of the word. All right? Amen. He says the sower sows the word, meaning it is the seed going out and it's landing on the ground. And now Jesus is going to give us four illustrations of the kind of soil that the word of God will land upon. And the soil is a representation of our hearts. Amen? And now, see, the word is the same for everybody, but not everybody has the same soil, so to speak. I don't know about you, but I want to be good ground. That's the only option for us. Look what he says in verse 15. Jesus says this. He says, these are they by the wayside. That means the roadside. We call it the shoulder of the road. All right? Okay? And he says this. These are they by the wayside, meaning seed hits the side of the road. I don't know about you, but right on the shoulder doesn't seem like a great place to try to grow any crops. And of course it's not. He says, these are they by the wayside. where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. And for the sake of time, I'm just going to start right here. Here now is one of the keys to promotion. The wayside is literally, Jesus describes the wayside because it is the hard-packed soil. It is the hard-packed soil, meaning this is seed on the side of the road that never gets down into the ground. It just sits there on top of the soil, and it never truly gets planted. And Jesus likened the fowls of the air that just come and just eat the seed right off the top of the surface because the surface was hard and that seed never got in there, all right? The wayside represents hard-heartedness. Hard-heartedness. All right? Hard-heartedness is a harvest killer. All right? If you are hard-hearted about the things of God's word, a future due season will not happen for you. God does not grow harvest in the hard-heartedness of people. Hello. Hard-heartedness is simply this. To hear God's word, I'm not going to do that. Hear God's word, it might challenge you. It might, you know, present something to you that you're not doing or something that your flesh doesn't want to do. I mean, let's just use some very common examples. The Bible says to lift hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. And you'll hear me up here say, hey, lift up your hand. Let's just give God all the praise and glory. And a lot of times there's people in their self-consciousness, they'll say, I'm not going to do that. I just won't do that. Or the preacher will show us the scripture about tithing. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. Or there'll be an opportunity to serve in the church. No, I'm not doing that. I don't want to take the time to do that. I don't want to do that. Hard-heartedness, see, what that does is it steals a future due season. See, when we get hard-hearted, we're deceived. We're deceived. Or hard-heartedness, you know, looks at somebody else and criticizes them for what they're doing. Hard-heartedness is always opposing other Christians. You know, oh, they're wrong. You know, hard-heartedness gets offended, and we'll talk about that. That's actually the next one. It's more of a character of the rocky soil. But, it, you know, the wayside is just hard-heartedness. You know, I see Christians all the time. They see what God's word says to do, and they just say, I'm not doing that. And my heart hurts for them because I know that there's a due season that God had for them in their future that is now not going to happen. God cannot grow harvest on the roadside just like a farmer does not grow his crops on the shoulder of the road. Amen. But here's the other option. And now here's another key to being promoted God's way. Because the opposite of hard-hearted, the Bible talks about it a lot, is being tender-hearted. So you don't have to be hard-hearted. You can be tender-hearted. Tender-hearted means to be easily teachable. It means to be correctable. When somebody has a tender heart for God, they say, oh, the word says to do that. Oh, then I'm going to do it. See, this is where obedience, when you are quick to obey God. That's why when I gave my life to Jesus and there was a myriad of things in my life that weren't right, I started getting into the word. The verse that changed my life was Luke 6:46, where Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but do nothing what I say? And I remember at that moment, I talked to Jesus and I said, that's me. I just admitted it. Because man, I'll tell you what, before those days, you could get me at a party, you could get me, you know, when I was doing all sorts of wrong things, living hard and drinking and drugging and all that stuff. Oh, I'd tell everybody that I believed in Jesus. But my actions proved otherwise. And there came a day when I got into that verse and it was like the Lord just specifically said it to me. He's like, you call me Lord, but you don't obey me. And I said, Lord, that's me. I call you Lord, but I don't obey you. And from that moment on, I made sure my heart was tender. Lord, whatever you say to do, I'm going to do it. No, it is not my personality to lift my hands and shout in the house of God. That's not my personality, but the Bible says that's what blesses him. You know, yeah. I mean, all of our skin will crawl when the scripture tells us to tithe. But it was in January of 2004 where I learned that truth. And from that point on, I became a tither. Amen. I became a tither and never looked back. Amen. When you're tenderhearted, you're easily corrected, you're teachable, you are quick to obey. If you are quick to obey, God can promote you. God doesn't expect you to know everything. He just expects you to do what you know. Amen. God does not expect you to know everything. Listen, is there anyone here that knows everything? Anybody? Any takers? Okay, oh, good. Oh, we got one. I've already known that. I know that. Yeah. You know, there's no pastor that knows everything. You know, there's no anybody that knows everything, right? God does not hold you accountable for everything that you don't exactly know yet. He does expect you to be tenderhearted about what you do know. I do know I'm supposed to forgive. I do know I'm supposed to tithe. I do know that I'm supposed to serve in the house of God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Tenderheartedness. There's another key. Key number one is don't be deceived to think that your decisions don't affect your future. All right. Tenderheartedness. That's the second thing. And now let's just wrap up these last two. Look at over here in Mark 4:16. Jesus says this. He says, "And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, they immediately," can we go to verse 17? "Immediately they are offended." Wow. Notice when people are easily offended, that means they have no root in themselves. Here is the next key here. All right. Here is a key to being promoted, not being offended. Not being offended. Jesus says if you're somebody who's easily offended, you are like the rocky soil. You know what rocky soil is? A seed can hit that, ground and it'll grow really quick, but then it has no root because the stones underneath there won't allow it to grow any further. And then all of a sudden that thing has no root. Folks, do you see what verse 17 says? Jesus says when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake. Folks, do you know and understand that Satan is going to attack those that are tenderhearted? He's going to come after those that set their foot out to try to obey. And I don't say that to try to scare you. You've got authority over him. I'm just here to tell you, he's going to try to resist those that go after being obedient to the word. And sometimes troubles come up in our lives or persecution arises in our lives because that is the enemy's attempt to get us to cast that word away. So the devil wants you to believe that life was easier when you weren't obeying God. Oh, I tell you what, life is hard when you don't obey God. Life is way harder when you don't obey God. So those troubles will come because you start to obey God's word and then people get offended at their situation. They thought, well, my goodness, I'm obeying God the best I know how and all these problems came up. These people, they get offended and they're the type that'll say, well, the Bible doesn't work. God wasn't there for me. It didn't work in my life. See, no, they got offended at their situation. Folks, being easily offended will take away a future season to reap. Yeah, but what's the other option? How about being patient? How about being merciful? How about being faithful even when it hurts? Is your life always going to feel good? Is everything around you always going to look just perfect? No. But see, I don't know about you. I'm not after a perfect life. I'm after Jesus. And so regardless of what happens in my life, I've already made that decision ahead of time. I'm going to stay faithful to him no matter how hard it gets or what it looks like. Or I'm going to be faithful even when it looks great. And let's just say, I mean, there's a lot of times when life looks great. And there's a lot of times when life doesn't look great or feel great. But what life looks like is not what I'm after. Faithfulness is what I'm after. Jesus is who I'm after. Amen. And so you can't be ignorant to this truth. Jesus said, yeah, trials are going to come your way when you start to step out and obey God. But don't be like these easily offended folks. You could have been merciful. You could have been patient. You could have been forgiving. You know, you could have been submissive and yielded to God and not offended at your circumstances. Remember, even John the Baptist was tempted to be offended. Remember when John the Baptist sent his own disciples to Jesus saying, are you the one that we're waiting for, or should we look for another? John the Baptist was there when he saw the Holy Ghost descend upon Christ. And now because he was thrown into jail, all of a sudden he's like, well, maybe this isn't the one. And Jesus sent a message. He says, go back and tell John that the deaf, you know, are healed, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk. He says, and go tell John, blessed is he that's not offended in me. Remember that? John the Baptist, of whom Christ said there was none greater. Think about that. But yeah, even John, he's like, I was faithful to God, and yet it landed me in jail. And Jesus says, go tell John, blessed are the ones that don't get offended in me. Even the best people will be tempted to ask God why bad things happen or why their life got so tough. Our goal isn't to find comfort in this life, meaning convenience or just seeking a comfortable life. It's to find faithfulness. Amen. Don't be the stony ground. Don't just be, you know, excited about God's word as long as everything looks good. All right. And then here's the last thing. Go down there to verse 18. And it says, and these are they which are sown amongst thorns, and they hear the word, and the cares of this world. The cares of this world. Now that is, of course, worrying in general, but just all the stuff that we have to do. All right? The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches. See, the deceitfulness of riches is when somebody believes that money makes them happy. You're deceived if you think money makes you happy. You're deceived if you're pursuing money over God. All right, that's the deception of riches. It says, and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and the word becomes unfruitful in that person's life. Why? Because they were the worried ground. They were the ones that were overwhelmed with worry and cares, and they were distracted, and they were pulled in every other direction, and they stopped pursuing God. And now the word becomes unfruitful in their life. All right? Think about that. But there's another option. You know, we can be faithful. We don't have to, you know, be distracted by the cares of this life and all these other things. Amen. We can put God first. Amen. And become fruitful. So, folks, notice these things. Hard-heartedness will destroy your fruitfulness. Being offended is going to destroy your fruitfulness, all right? Being someone that's overwhelmed with worry and the cares of this life is going to destroy your fruitfulness. God cannot grow a harvest in somebody's life who is deceived, if somebody is hard-hearted, if they're easily offended, or they're overcome with worries in this life. There are some people that they don't know what to do unless they're worrying about something. They worry about payments, they worry about money, they worry about kids. I have parents all the time tell me, well, a good parent is a parent that worries about their kid. No, they're not. If you're worrying about your children, you're not being a good parent at all. Because nowhere in the scripture did God ever say he would bless worry. Your children do not need your worry, they need your faith. Amen. Yes, I understand the temptations upon our emotions when we have children. There's a lot there that tries to come against us, but faith is the answer. Worry is never the answer. Amen. So, folks, you want to be fruitful? God made you to be fruitful. He's glorified when you're fruitful. And the way that you stay fruitful, right? Don't get deceived. Know that, you know, your future is up to your decisions, meaning God will use your decisions. You're going to reap what you sow. God cannot grow a harvest in a heart that is hard-hearted. if you're somebody that looks at things in the Bible and says, well, I'm not going to do that, that hard-heartedness just stole a due season for you. But folks, don't let yourself be easily offended. Don't let yourself become overwhelmed with the worries of this world. Just keep doing right. Keep doing right. Just keep doing right. I mean, every day, keep making good decisions. You know, set up that due season. You know, keep praying. Keep reading the Bible. Keep praising. Keep giving. Keep serving. Keep forgiving. Amen. Keep speaking right. Keep saying right. Stay loyal to your brothers and sisters. Stay loyal to your local church. Stay loyal to leadership. Amen. Glory to God. These are the things that are going to produce a harvest and get you into that due season. God wants to promote you. He wants to honor you. He wants to use you. But if we're hard-hearted, if we're offended, right? If we're worried all the time, God can't do anything against that. Just think, those petty things keep God out of our lives. It ain't worth it. Amen. That's my message. I'm sticking to it. Let's go ahead and let's pray. Father God, we just love you. We praise you tonight. Lord, you are faithful and good. Lord, you said, be not deceived. God is not mocked or blamed. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he reap. Lord, we'd be deceived to think that we play no part in our future. But Lord, you said, don't grow weary in well-doing. And Lord, we know that sometimes that due season just doesn't seem to show up. Sometimes it just feels like we're waiting longer for that due season. And that waiting produces a weariness. But Lord, you said that we would reap if we would faint not. If we just keep doing well, keep obeying your word, keep being tender-hearted, correctable, teachable, not easily offended, not overcome with worry and cares of this world. Father, you said that you would honor us. Lord, in Psalm 91, it said that you wanted to set us on high. Not for our glory, not for our name, but Lord, for your glory. Father, you said that you are glorified when we bear much fruit. You made us to be fruitful. You gave us Jesus to be fruitful. And Lord, you said that your disciples are fruitful ones. Lord, that's who we want to be. We want to be growing your kingdom every opportunity. We want to be growing in our knowledge of you. And Lord, we just bless you tonight. We glorify you. We just give you the praise and the glory. With all heads bowed, every eye closed, before we dismiss, have you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? Have you personally invited him into your heart? The scripture says over there in Romans 10:9, it says that if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So notice how we get saved. We get saved from our own sins. We get saved from eternal punishment. We get saved from hell. Why? Because we confess Jesus as Lord, we speak it and declare it, and the Bible says we then believe and put our faith in his resurrection. And if you'll do that, if you'll confess your faith in him, he'll give you eternal life. Eyes are closed, heads are bowed. I'm not going to ask anyone to stand up here tonight. I'm not going to walk up to you. I'm not going to call you down front. But if you're here and you'd say, Pastor, that's me. I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior. If that's you, I'm simply going to ask you to lift your hand. Take that small step towards God. He'll meet you right there. Once I see your hand, I'll just have you put it right back down. And then I'll lead the entire congregation into prayer. Everyone will be praying right along with you. Right there in your seat, you can just invite Jesus into your heart. If that's you, could you lift your hand now, please? Is there anyone here within the sound of my voice that you'd say, Pastor, I need to know that I'm saved. I need Jesus, and I need to know that heaven is my home. God loves you. He's got a plan for your life. Is there anybody? If you just quickly slip your hand up, I'd love to just lead us all in that prayer, and right there in the privacy of your seat, you can invite Jesus into your heart. I don't see any hands. Father God, I don't see any hands here tonight, so I trust we're all walking with you, living for you. And Lord, you are faithful and good. Lord, I just pray that your plan would come to full fruition in the lives of everybody within the sound of my voice. Father God, we love you. We praise you. And Lord, we need to be walking in your plan. And we just give you the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go ahead. Let's stand to our feet. Did you get some help here tonight? I don't know about you, but I want to be fruitful for God. Amen. I want to. I'm not saying that you're not saying that I'm not. I'm just saying I want to be fruitful every day of my life. Let's give God all the praise and we'll be dismissed. Father, we bless you tonight. We glorify you. Lord, you are faithful, and I command your hand of blessing upon each one. Father, we're going to live for you all the days of our life. And Father God, we just give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. You are dismissed.